Amen. You may be seated. Happy New Year. All right. This is the first Sunday of this new liturgical year where we'll trek through the life of Jesus. And we always begin looking forward to his birth. And we close, as we did last week, confessing that he is the King of Kings. This year is cycle C. There are three cycles of the liturgical year, A, B, and C. And of course, you can figure out A, we go through looking at Matthew, B, we look at Mark, and C, we'll look at Luke. And we're grateful. To begin that, and I want you to come up afterwards and see, our church has been gifted by a beautiful, beautiful piece, handmade Advent wreath that Keith Nunn, wonderful guy, met in Radford. And he made this for our congregation. It has a lot of details and things that the more you look at it, the more you will appreciate it. And he uses woods. I've listed the woods in the announcement just so you'll know. And he would not take any remuneration for it. He wanted to gift it to our church. And with the caveat that if I ever retire, or you insist that I retire, it becomes mine. So, but for now, we're all going to enjoy it. But we have a card that we want to just thank Keith and his wife, Angie, for doing that. So if you'll circulate that, and there's a pin, let's come up and look at it afterwards. This is a great day for that. We'll have the Advent candle Hope lit today. And then throughout this Advent, I will be adding an extra Advent prayer when we do the pastoral prayer. So we'll have that. It's also a special day because we're going to have four baptisms today. And, you know, a lot of people think that Billy Graham was a great evangelist, and he was. But I'll put my money, at least in Lynchburg, Webb's about as good of evangelist. And I think it might be... And I say this in love, I think it might be that people look at Webb and say, if God can save him, he can save anybody. I love you, brother.
Amen.
So, Webb is, and we're honored. We're honored. So we'll have that in the middle of the service. And we also have, and then I'll be quiet, we have Advent wreaths. If you'd like those, we also have Advent devotionals that are back there on the table on the narthex. Please feel free to get those. And then the only final thing is this Tuesday at 10:30, we're folding clothes and hanging clothes at Parkview. So if you can attend that, please do. Any other announcements? All right. Let's move to prayer requests. Any prayer requests this morning? Yes, ma'am. Carrie.
So, Duval came to visit Mom when she ended up at Ortho with him. He's got a broken collarbone in two places, so if you just pray for him, because he does fly back to Texas on Tuesday. His arm is in a brace, and he's got a collarbone Ortho there. Mm-hmm. And also, Tiffany Reynolds, her cancer is everywhere, so if we can just continue to pray for her. There are options
and
medications, but she'll just keep moving forward.
So let's keep Tiffany Reynolds with her treatments for cancer. And then Duval, he's flying, when's he leaving?
Tuesday,
back to Texas. So let's keep Duval and that will be an easy trip for him. Anyone else? Okay, Mom?
Greg.
Let's keep Greg Anderson and his... This was a rough week for him this past week, but let's pray for him and his brain cancer. I saw him. Yes, Liz?
I would like to pray for my father, Charlie Griffin. Okay. He's getting older. His legs are getting worse. And I want to pray that he'll actually try to start moving around more to make his life possible.
Let's keep Charlie in our prayers. Thank you. And Webb?
I want to keep you guys in prayer, John and Nick. They did work with me. They got let go on Friday. And although sometimes stuff like that is a necessity, just to get lose your job right before Christmas isn't easy, so we can keep up with that in prayer.
Let's keep John and Nick in our prayers as they lost their job this past week. Anyone else for prayer? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you as we begin this new walk. As we walk along the life of Christ, may not only on Sundays, but may we be oriented again to remember that our lives need to be oriented to and informed by the life of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you chose not just to tell us how to come to you, but you came to us. You didn't give us instructions that we needed to follow in order to make it to God, but you came to us in the form that we could, as John says, taste and touch, see. We know him, and we, through faith, know his presence, and we see it in the beauty of nature, which speaks to his glory. We see it in the love we receive from others. We receive it directly as we know that your Spirit works in our lives, and we just stand back and say thank you. So may this coming year, this be a wonderful time for us as a church to grow closer to you and to grow even closer than we are to each other as we enjoy life together. We just pray that you'll be with our worship service today. We thank you for the privilege of observing baptism and that you work. We thank you for your presence. We ask your presence especially for those that have been lifted up. We pray that you be with John and Nick. It's never a good time to receive that type of news and have to go through that transition, but may they truly be upheld by the belief of knowing that you are not surprised by anything that we learn. Nothing takes you by surprise. And your watch care is not restricted or limited to a particular channel that we've grown to enjoy, for you always provide. May they be reassured in that, and would you please open up something even better that would fit them. We pray that you'd be with Charlie. May he just in his increase aging, may he also increase his mobility. May his spirit be one that won't quit, that he'll be motivated to be mobile. We pray that you'd be with Duval as he travels, that that would go well, and the flight would be easy. We pray for those that deal with that dreaded disease of cancer. It seems to touch just about every family. And we pray that you'd be with Tiffany and her family. We pray that you'd be with Greg and his, and may their treatments be effective. And may we rest in your goodness even when life is tough. We know that life can truly be unfair, but our hope and our salvation is not in the equity of life, but in the goodness of our God. And you are eternally good, so we are well. And we all offer these prayers through your Son's name. Amen. As we begin, we will do through Advent. I would invite the two Sues to come forward as we have the Advent reading. You have a part. You'll see it in the announcements in bold. They will instruct us, but it's in the middle of their readings that we will have this response that you see on the announcement.
From deep in the past, Jeremiah calls to us. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Jeremiah 33:14. Beloved, the days are surely coming when the yearning of the land, the longing of the sun, moon, and stars, the desperate need of the people of earth for flourishing and peace will receive their fulfillment.
while fear, anxiety, misinformation, and suspicion surround us on every side, we choose to watch and wait in hope, preparing our hearts to notice God's grace already at work in our midst.
We light this candle of hope as a sign of our commitment to pay attention and prepare for the days that are surely coming and are already here, the days when God's kingdom of love, justice, and mercy will reign.
If you'll join with me on the front of the bulletin, as always, we gather only in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your unmerciful mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sins. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use Psalm 25 as a call to worship, and then we will stand together and sing hymn 172, Love Divine, All Loves Excel. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be humiliated, nor let my enemies triumph over me.
Let none who look to you be put to shame. Let the treacherous be disappointed in their sins.
Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my salvation. In you I have trusted all the day long.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting.
Remember us as sinners of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your love, and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Gracious and upright is the Lord, therefore he teaches sinners in his way.
He guides the humble in doing right, and teaches his way to the lowly.
All the paths of the Lord are love and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies.
For your name's sake, O Lord, forgive my sin, for it is great.
Thank you. first reading is from Jeremiah 33, 14 through 16. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it shall be called, the Lord is our righteousness.
Let us sing hymn 170.
Second lesson is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 9-13. What thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints.
Most of you know that several weeks ago now, we were able to place all the things we've been paying to store, and it was good to be able to not have to pay that fee monthly and to be able to keep all the things we needed. And probably the thing that grieved me the most to not have it is here now. Not only is this baptismal font beautiful, made by, of course, by Bill Warman, but we're here. It's the entrance. It's what Christ said to Nicodemus, that what he needed to do, he couldn't do, and that is he needed to be born again. And then Jesus makes that wonderful statement that unless one is born of water and of spirit, he has no part. Baptism has been embedded in our minds, is that point of initiation, whether as an infant or as an individual. We often, and I think of that wonderful movie, O Brother, Where Art Thou?, where that beautiful rendition of Alison Krauss, when we go down to the river to pray. And it's just that beginning. And there's nothing more appropriate, I think, than to have baptisms at Easter, where we have that new beginning of new life, and at the beginning of a liturgical year. And we are, all of you who are baptized, please let me give you a grammatical and theological lesson. Don't ever say, "I was baptized." Always say, "I am baptized." You know, it'd be like if I asked Reverend Hill, "Al, are you married?" If he says, "I was married," Diane's not going to appreciate that very much. He is married. It's a constant relationship. And our Savior claims you in baptism. He makes you his own, and he gives you a name. And you always are baptized, and that is your strength as you hold on to that. I would ask those who are going to be baptized and those family members that want to stand with them to come forward at this time. Share with Webb the significance of being Irish, but it's a wonderful thing. It's like the old saying, you never ask anyone if they're from Virginia, because if they're not, you don't want to embarrass them. You never want to ask anyone if they're Irish, because you don't want to embarrass them. And this prayer book is somewhat new to me. I only got it last year when the church that I'm ordained in did something, and they gave me this. And it's the Book of Prayer from Ireland. So I thought it would be fitting for us. As we come to be baptized, there have been a lot of debates over baptism through the years, and all are unnecessary and miss a real point. Some people have debated, you know, about the quantity of the water. Should you use a big amount and be dunked? Should you use a small amount? And the truth of the matter is, baptism, rightly understood, is not about the quantity of the water. Also, there have been discussion about whether or not you should be a child, an infant, or an adult. And the other thing is, baptism is not about my ability, my understanding, not even about my goodness. It's all about Christ's goodness. And he longs for us. And I celebrate all of you who will be baptized. And now let's enter them. Baptism marks the beginning of our journey with God, which continues for the rest of our lives. The first step in response to God's love. For all involved, particularly the candidates, but also the family, it is a joyful moment when we rejoice in what God has done for us in Christ, making serious promise and declaring the faith that He has given us. The wider community of the local church and friends welcome the new, promising support and prayer for their future. Hearing and doing these things provide an opportunity to remember our own baptism, reflect on the progress made on our own journey, which is now to be shared with each new member being baptized. This is a responsive reading, but you have the same line over and over, and I didn't have room to put it in the bulletin. You will remember it. It's simply, thanks be to God. And I'd ask you to join me in that response. We give you thanks that at the beginning of creation, your Holy Spirit moved upon the waters to bring forth life and light. With water you cleanse and replenish the earth. You nourish and sustain all living things.
Thanks be to God.
We give you thanks that through the waters of the Red Sea, you led your people out of slavery into freedom and brought them through the River Jordan to new life in the land of promise.
Thanks be to God.
We give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, for His baptism by John, His anointing with the Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
We give you thanks that through the deep waters of death, Jesus delivered us from our sins and was raised to new life in triumph.
Thanks be to God.
We give you thanks for the grace of the Holy Spirit, who forms us in the likeness of Christ and leads us to proclaim your kingdom.
Thanks be to God.
And now we give you thanks that you have called Christine, Bodie, Elizabeth, and John to new birth in your church through the waters of baptism. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless and sanctify this water, so that those who are baptized in it may be made one with Christ in His death and resurrection. May we die to sin, rise in newness of life, and continue forever in Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we give you praise and honor in the unity of the Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Christine?
Yes.
Do you desire Christian baptism?
I do.
Then He is eager to receive those coming in the door. I baptize you in the name of the Father, name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. He has called you to Himself. He has given you a new name. We started with Christine because she's a mama that started all this. Bodie, is it your desire for Christian baptism?
Yes.
Okay. Then based on your desire and His willingness to receive, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. He has called you to Himself, claimed you in baptism. You need this one? And we welcome you. Elizabeth.
Yes.
Is it your desire for Christian baptism?
Yes.
Then, based on your desire and His willingness to receive, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. He has called you as His own, giving you His name. Is it your desire for Christian baptism?
Absolutely, yes.
Based on your desire and His eagerness to receive, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit.
He has claimed you for his own. He has made you his, and his love shines upon you perpetually. Let's pray together. Our gracious God, we remember our baptism. May it be our strength in knowing that we are not alone. As you identify with us in Christian baptism, so now we identify with you. As you claimed us as your own, we now, with this new identity, which supersedes all other distinctions, the truth of the matter is, nothing is more important than our status together as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We thank you for this opportunity to witness and to remember our own baptism. We thank you for your activity that pulls us and keeps us in Christ Jesus. So now I ask the blessings of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to be upon those that were baptized, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Just want to say amen.
Thank you.
praise your holy name for the love that came down at Christmas. We look forward to that, anticipating your newness of your love in this coming year. Amen.
Gospel reading is Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I won't tell the liturgical Nazis that do exist around on Facebook and other places, because technically until Christmas Eve it's not Christmas. But let's make confession. How many of us have started listening to Christmas music already? All right. If you haven't, well, get a life. Start enjoying it. But Christmas, I think most of us would say that of all the things we like about the holidays, the food, getting together with family, the festive times, we love the music. I've been thinking a lot because the sermon on Christmas morn will be about songs in the scripture. Christmas is about familiar songs. I remember when I was around 3, I learned 2 different songs. One, some of you may be old enough to remember it, I was born in 62. One was one I just heard my parents listening to by a woman that I learned later was named Jackie DeShannon. But you know the song, and I remember hearing it. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Not just for everyone. Not just for some, but for everyone. Also around 3, my mom taught me another song that you've also probably heard. That wonderful nursery rhyme. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And soon I learned in school, not at 3, but in Sunday school, I learned another verse you probably know, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have life everlasting. But let me make another confession, far more serious than listening to Christmas music in Advent. All my life, for the most part, in fact, I have to say even now, sometimes I still struggle. And I need friends and sermons and scripture to remind me. All my life, I've wondered, if I'm honest, is, I know he loves me, but does he really like me? I mean, does he love me begrudgingly? Does he love me because he has to? You know, it's his job to love people. Or, I mean, I know me, and if I'm honest, I don't like me all the time. And you know me. And if you're truthful, you don't like me all the time. I don't like you all. I mean, we're just not always loving or worthy of love. I don't want to ask you, but I guarantee you, you've wondered too sometimes. Does God really love me? And then we get to texts like today in 1 Thessalonians, where he says that God is not only loves me, he's overwhelmingly, exceedingly, abundantly, over the top in love with you. He's like the Highwayman song that where Johnny Cash says, as only Johnny Cash says, when I fall in love, I fall all over the place. When God falls in love with you, which he did before all eternity, he fell all over the place. It's not based on your goodness. For he loved you before you were born and had done nothing either good nor bad. He doesn't have a criteria other than his own character for his love of you. I just want to say from the scripture, 1 Thessalonians, three things about this real briefly. The first thing is the very heart of Christianity. The essence of Christianity is being loved. It's all about being loved. Another song, since we're talking about songs, that Dean Martin did best, Frank Sinatra probably best known for doing it. A lot of people I've even heard and read in psychology books will use this as a song that's wrong. It's a codependent song. That you shouldn't be like that, it'll make you too needy. And it's a song, you're nobody till somebody loves you. Well, I'm going to say that Dean Martin's not wrong. You are nobody until somebody loves you. But I'm going to insist, because it's biblical and for your peace of mind, make sure you understand who that somebody needs to be. Or you'll spend your life, we'll spend our lives, trying to find somebody else to love us. And that will make me somebody. But I'm going to suggest to you that the heart of Christianity is that you are somebody. Because the somebody above all bodies loves you excessively. He loves you overwhelmingly. You know, baptism is like marriage. He married you in baptism. But there's something I've said, I've probably officiated at, I don't know, 400 and some weddings at least over the last almost 40 years. And often I'll say something, and I know when I say it, it's the standard, and it's a nice wish, and it's everyone's intention, but we are sinners, and we have hardness of heart, and we live in a fallen world, so it often isn't true when I make the statement that you've heard at weddings, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Well, there's no guarantee because of who we are that that's spoken at weddings takes. But I can tell you with everything in me is being true, the marriage that I just officiated with those four individuals, the marriage with you and your baptism, that's why we constantly remind ourselves that we are baptized. That marriage can truly be said, what God has joined together, no one, hell nor high water, the effects and influence of the evil one or natural events that happen, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Being loved is the essence of Christianity. The effect of being loved, we see in verse 9, the effect of being loved is that the effect is not so much what it intends, it's more of a byproduct. The effect of being loved is joy, we see in verse 9. God loves me. It makes me joyous, and it always will. I remember, because I ponder, Emma says I can look at a stop sign and come up with about 18 different lessons and meanings in a stop sign. And I guess she's right. I remember being at a Valentine's banquet. I went to a school that thought dancing was a sin. So we didn't have dances, but they were okay with gluttony, so we had banquets. So instead of having dances to celebrate, we ate. And I remember being at a Valentine's banquet, and of course, you know, I'm bored. And I was looking at, you know, those little sweet tarts, I think they are, that are shaped like little
candy hearts
and have things written on them. They were on the table for decoration because they're not edible, I don't think. But I was reading them, and some of them made sense. Like, I love you, or be mine, or, you know, you're sweet, or whatever. But one that I remember looking at thinking, I don't get this. To my 16, 17-year-old brain, it was like, that's not a very loving sentiment. The one that I remember reflecting at that said, remember me. Brothers and sisters, as I've lived now 50 years, I guess, 45 from that point, I would argue that that's the most loving sentiment expressed on those little sweet tarts. To be remembered. Remembered. We read this in Psalm 25. He says, remember, in verse 5, remember, O Lord, your compassion and love. Verse 6, remember me according to your love. Remember me. We know what it is to be forgotten, don't we? We know what it is to not be remembered. And the good news is, God always has and always will remember you. One of my favorite passages is another one of David's in Psalm 56 where I read, it says this, talking to God, you have kept account of my midnight tossings. When you toss in bed at 2 a.m., he remembers those. And you have kept all my tears in a bottle. My enemies will surround me, but they will back down. And I will say, this I know for sure, God is for me. God remembers you. Isaiah would say, even if everyone forgets, Isaiah 49 has this horrific image. And he asks a rhetorical question, can a nursing mother forget her suckling child? And it's sadly answered, maybe it could be. But then it has that wonderful promise. Even if your mother forgets you, yet I will remember you. Even if everyone forgets us, it doesn't matter because the somebody will always remember us. In fact, Isaiah will go on to say, God has tattooed us on the palm of his hand. I don't know if any of you have a loved one's name tattooed on your body. But I take great comfort in knowing my name is tattooed along with each one of yours on the palm, metaphorically speaking, of God. And then the final thing I want to say, the effect of being loved is we're strengthened, in verse 13 of the epistle, we're strengthened for the day and we will stand at the end. I take great comfort in knowing, it'll sound strange, but the reverse of it is extremely comforting. I take great comfort in knowing there is nothing you can do to make God love you any more than he does right now. You know why that's so comforting? The flip side is also true. There is nothing you could do today or for the rest of your days that would make God love you any less. He loves you perfectly. Let me close with an example that I think moves me. I love going to Jamestown. And if you go to Jamestown, there's out at the pier where the first church was, there's this huge statue of John Smith. And we all learned the story. Historians can debate whether or not it actually happened, but I don't care if it happened or not. It's a story that tells a powerful truth. And that is that the Indians, Native Americans, had taken John Smith, and he had his head on a stump. And they were going to take and sever his head from his body. And you know the story. That young Indian girl, Pocahontas, came and she laid her head against John Smith's head and saved his life. I guess I'd sum up this gospel, sum up the love we have, is at the end of the day, it's Jesus Christ that put his neck on the line to protect us and to save us and to love us exceedingly, overwhelmingly, and it will never change. Amen?
Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith together, brothers and sisters, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, God of David, for your faithfulness is steadfast, and your mercy has been from of old. You draw your people to you with your promise of salvation. And every promise you make, in your goodness, you fulfill. From the house of David, you raised up your Messiah to restore Judah and to herald that your deliverance was near. In your Son's righteousness, we find our life, for his righteousness was more than enough for your people, who had waited so long for justice, who had yearned so long for redemption, who had trusted so long for your grace. Truly in his righteousness is fulfilled, every hope of salvation in every generation. By his death we can stand justified before you, and through his resurrection we can share your holy life forever. And so with angels and archangels we praise your name, joining the company of heaven in their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of glory, for whose coming we wait, make this meal we share a sacrament of our redemption. Send your Holy Spirit upon your church. Strengthen our hearts in all holiness, that we may be heralds of your kingdom of love. By your same Spirit, sanctify this bread and this cup, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And again, he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink ye all of this, For this is the blood of the new covenant which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ
is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is come again.
God of power, you have promised to make your way to us. Come quickly to those who wait for you. Raise up every head that is bent low in sin. Lift up every heart that is bowed down in shame. Uphold every soul that is made heavy by oppression. Inspire every weary throat to sing of the day when justice and mercy meet. Bring us through all that is passing away to the life that shall never pass away. When every eye shall be lifted up to gaze upon your Son in everlasting glory with all your saints, and when the redemption for which we have longed shall forever be ours in the company of your Son and the power of your Spirit. Holy Father, Blessed Trinity. Amen.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We come to this table, and while it's a sacrifice, it's a marriage supper. We know it looks back to the death of Christ, which makes all things possible, as he established this meal on the night in which he was betrayed. It looks back, but it also looks forward to what we'll be doing in heaven, as we know that we will have that perpetual marriage supper of the Lamb. We know that we are the bride, presented faultless, not because of us, but because of him. And he is the groom. He's eager to sup with us. So we look forward, knowing that he is our beloved, and our beloved is ours. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in sincerity and truth, to come and to receive his gift of love, his own body and blood shed for us. We practice by intinction. I'll give you a piece of the bread. You dip it into the chalice, and then come forward and have a prayer. Please look at the baptismal font. Whether it was today or many years ago, remember, you are baptized. And because of that, you are his forever. Let us keep the feast.
Amen. To all the goodness that you've given us. So mote it be, both now and forevermore. Amen. As we look forward to this coming gift, let us stand and sing together hymn 175. Service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.